Listen to me, church. It's that we need to sit down and allow the Word to touch us in the deepest part of our hearts. Listen, it's one thing to study the Word. That's important. Got to study the Word. But it's a different thing to have the Lord speak to you and refresh your heart. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to the Hope Restored series as we finish Nehemiah chapter 3. We've watched the people rebuild section by section, family by family, and now we come to the gates, or the entry points of the city, in a message titled, The Gospel Gates. These gates remind us God cares about every area of our lives. He cleanses what is broken, refreshes what is dry. He strengthens what is weak, and fills us with hope for the future. The rebuilding of Jerusalem wasn't about protecting a city. It's about preparing God's people for what was ahead. And the same is true for us. God is restoring us with purpose. God's restoration is comprehensive, and He rebuilds every part of our lives for His glory. The gospel is not merely the doorway into Christianity. It's the path we walk every day. So are you allowing God access to every gate of your life? Or are there places you've stopped letting Him work? Let's join Pastor Ben as we finish chapter 3 of Nehemiah with today's lesson, The Gospel Gate.
And so when the Lord begins, you deal with it. Or, you know what another reaction could be for us? We can simply get used to it. You see, the day was when we assigned Jesse the refuge gate, the dung gate. He used to wear a mask and he used to wear nose plugs and he hated it, but he did it because he loved Jesus. But you know, I saw him the other day and he was going to work and he doesn't wear that anymore. And I asked him, Brother Jesse, what's going on? You're at the refuge, you're building the refuge gate, Yeah, and you know what he said? Oh, I've gotten used to it. It doesn't bother me anymore. Spiritually speaking, is that where we are in our lives? We have to definitely need to watch out for that. When sin, when dung, if you will, is our life is revealed, be careful that we don't just get used to the smell and that we don't get immune to it. That's fine. It's fine. It's good. You go, well, Ben, you said, what do we do with it? Ready? Jot this down. Deal with it quickly. What does that mean? Repent. Deal with it quickly. Quickly. My prayer is that we would never get used to the ungodliness of our world, and we would have the Holy Spirit reminding us of the smell in the world and in our lives. Ooh, yes. May the Lord burn within our hearts in the conviction for righteousness. Well, once confession is made and the dung is carried out, we come to the next gate. Guys, if you have a pencil handy, it's the fountain gate. Look at me, verse 15, Nehemiah 3:15, Shallum and the son of Kohathath, the leader of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it, he covered it, he hung its doors with bolts and bars, he repaired the wall, the pool of Siloam, the king's garden, as far as the stairs that go down from the city of David. Guys, if you have a pencil handy, jot this down. You need to know what the fountain gate is because that's renewal. That's known as renewal and our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God, this is where we need to be. Once we're walking through, we've gone through the sheep gate, we've gone through all the gates and even the refuge gates are purging all that junk out of our lives and we need to have and be filled with God's Holy Spirit. The filling of God's Holy Spirit. Remember the beautiful words that Jesus told us in John chapter 7, 34 and through 39. John 7, 34 through 39 says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Glorified. So many times, church, when we blow it, we ask for forgiveness. Then we come to a place of longing for a deeper work of the Lord in our spirit. And we pray for a fresh touch from God in our lives. Once the dung is carried out, we realize, Lord, I know you. I want to serve you. I love your word. I love your word. Guys, the fountain gate is a place where we can say, Father, I'm not going to stop seeking you for that overflowing experience in the Spirit. Look at me. I think that's where the church is missing it. There are three Greek prepositions for the Spirit. The first one is para, P-A-R-A. That's when the Holy Spirit comes alongside you. He's coming alongside you, and this is where he comes along and he encircles you. So we get that word periscope or parachute. It's encircling you. When you give your life to Jesus, listen to me, church, it's the Greek word in. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you. He now guides you, and he begins to teach you. It's amazing. But where we're missing it is the third Greek preposition is epi. It's the epi experience. It's when we sit here and go, God, fill me with you. And it's the overflowing filling of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the world has done, and the church has done a bad job of going, okay, and then we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they get all crazy and everybody freaks out. And it's a beautiful thing. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. We find that, but we're missing it in churches because we're like, we're afraid of it. What's going to happen? But we should be asking for that every time we come in. God, fill me with your Spirit. You see, it's not a one and done. It's not a fill me up, you know, and then I'm like, it's always, it's constant. Lord, fill me. This should be the first thing that we speak every morning. Lord, use me and fill me with your Spirit, God. I want more of you. The Holy Spirit's going to help you with those tough conversations. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. You know, when God puts divine appointments in your life, you'll know what to say. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you in those times of trials when you're like, I don't know what's going on. And he's going to give you this inner peace. That's the Holy Spirit, but we're missing it. My prayer for you today, guys, before we leave, is take a moment, even during worship, and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I want to walk through the fountain gate. I need that place of renewal, not to be afraid of it. After the fountain gate, after we're renewed, after we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, doing and glorifying God, the next gate we come to as we make our way up in the city is the water gate. The water gate. Jump to verse 26. Nehemiah 3:26 says, moreover, the Nethinim who dwelt in Othel made repairs as far as the place in front of the water gate towards the east and on the projecting tower. Guys, circle that, the water gate. What's the water gate? Want to go in through this gate? Can't go in through the wall, got to go in through the gate. Here's what it is. It represents refreshment of the Word of God. Refreshment of the Word of God. One thing that happens in the life of the believer after they've been filled with the Holy Spirit is they'll have a great thirst and hunger for God's Word. You need to listen to me. When we're filled and ask for the Holy Spirit, we'll want more of God's Word and more of God's Word and more of God's Word. You see, right now, on a physical level, if we go eat one of these buffets, all you can eat, we can go in there and we can walk away so full that we think we're never going to eat again. Oh my gosh, did you realize? Oh man, I had this, whatever it might be. And you know, you guys, some of us have eaten to the place where it hurts. You're just like, oh, it hurt. You know, specifically Texas Roadhouse, when you eat the rolls. Man, if you eat five of those rolls and you're like, but then your steak comes and you're like, ah, here's the point. It's opposite with the Word of God. The Word of God, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. It's like, I can't put it down. Hey, man, what were you doing up till 1 a.m. the other day? Oh, man, I was reading and I was reading God's Word and I just couldn't put it down. He was just speaking to me. I knew I had to. I knew I had to get up and go to work, but it was just like, I was, wow, Lord. And then I'd read the Word and I'd meditate just a little bit and he'd speak to me and we just have this great day. And I just didn't even think of the time. And I just, it's the water gate. It's the water gate, guys. Have you walked through the water gate? We all need to walk through the water gate. We need that refreshment from the Word of God. Listen, the old gate, that spoke of the doctrinal side of the Word, okay? The teaching side of God's Word, knowing the truth in God's Word. The water gate speaks of devotion side and a quiet time side. When somebody comes up to you and says, hey, bro, how's your quiet time? That's exactly what he's saying. Have you walked through the water gate? And we need to be asking that now. Hey, Ben, have you walked through the water gate? Oh, yeah, I had a great Watergate experience this morning, man. People think we're crazy. They'll think of Nixon or some Watergate. Are you kidding me? What is that? No. It's different. Why? Listen to me, church. It's that we need to sit down and allow the word to touch us in the deepest part of our hearts. Listen, it's one thing to study the word. That's important. Got to study the word. But it's a different thing to have the Lord speak to you and refresh your heart. What I used to do early on is in my quiet time, I would read the passage that I was going to teach. And I would end up studying versus just the refreshment. So I realized, no. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to look at words. I'm trying to see that. No. Let's do this. And so I switched to the one-year Bible. And then I just let that just read. And it's amazing. It's amazing. Think about this, guys. If you're taking note, here's what the psalmist says about the subject. Psalm 119, verse 25 says this, my soul clings to the dust. It says, revive me according to your word. Have you ever felt that way? Oh, I'm so parched. Many of the older folks here will remember this. Many of the younger, I don't know, probably 40 and younger won't remember, but there used to be a commercial. I'm not sure if it was Lipton iced tea or it was iced tea. And they used to do this commercial where they stand there. How many of you remember that? And they would fall back into this giant pool of iced tea. And it was so refreshing. I know some of you don't remember, but the old people are not even saying they remember that. Like, I don't remember that, Ben. It must have been in your time. But that's how I feel. I feel in those hot, hot days when you are so thirsty. You know those hot and parched days, you'll drink almost anything? Man. According to the psalmist, Psalm 119, verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Wow. Is that how you look at God's word, church? It's like, this is a treasure. Wow, I rejoice. The Watergate. After the Watergate, they have something called the horse gate. Nehemiah 3:28 says, beyond the horse gate, the priest made repairs, each in front of his own house. If you have a pencil handy to walk through the horse gate, it speaks of two things. You go, what are they, Ben? Number one, it speaks of the believer's warfare, the spiritual battles we face daily. Let's talk about that, because the second is actually going to talk about the rapture of the church that we find in 1 Thessalonians 4. But let's talk about the horse gate for a minute, because in the horse gate, this is leading us to that spiritual warfare. Whenever there's a war, you know the top generals don't just go in and fight. They're strategizing, they're looking, they're wanting, they're going over so many things and what is the best way. And I think for you and I, in the believers and the spiritual battles we face, I think the enemy does the same thing in our life. You see, when somebody gets saved right here, somebody opens up their heart and says yes, our encouragement, if you will, and I use that word loosely, our encouragement is be careful because you're going to be attacked. You're going to come, the attacks are going to come, and they go, okay, but they don't really fully understand. And the enemy might give them a honeymoon period. You ever have that? Honeymoon period is like, oh my God, Jesus is great. And they just go for a time. But then all of a sudden, when they're not expecting it and things are like, are you kidding me? This Christian life is easy, man. It's like, I'm praying and God's answering. This is so cool. Boom. He just walked through the horse gate. And there's this spiritual battle. And what happens is the enemy knows us so well that that's where he wants to take us out. That's what he wants to. He wants to lay you flat down and be like, whoa, what happened? Wait, I thought I was saved. You are saved. But there's the battle. There's the battle. You see, spiritual attacks can come from all different and unbelievable places. I'll never forget, I was doing a premarital counseling for a couple. And they had come to me and they had got saved in this church. Hallelujah, God is good. And they were wanting to get married. And they had vowed. They said, hey, Pastor Ben, listen, I know our wedding is whatever, 4, 5, 6 months out of the, we vowed not to have sex. We're not going to have sex. We were living together. We're not going to do it anymore. We're going to just honor God. I said, all right, let's go. Let's do this. It's going to be beautiful. And so they're sitting there like that, right? And so we're going through the premarital counseling, and one of the counseling sessions, this poor young girl comes in here, and she's just broken. I said, what's the matter? She says, you won't believe. I made a vow. I wanted to keep my vow to God. I'm being pressured by my father to fulfill Josh's needs before the wedding. I never expect, a girl doesn't expect that, to be pressured. Wow. I said, that's a spiritual attack. That's coming from a place you didn't expect. She goes, exactly. Exactly. And so, church, we have to be the horse gate, guys. The spiritual battles we're going to face. And let me say this, and I think you can all agree, the closer we get to the return of Jesus, the more intense the fighting's going to be. And listen to me, instead of fighting each other, we should have each other's back. Come on, somebody. Because we're all in the foxhole together. And if we're in the foxhole and bullets are flying over our heads, spiritually speaking, you don't tell your brother, hey, look up and see if it's all right. You say, watch out, man. I got your back, bro. Watch out here. Love you. The horse gate. What a beautiful picture. And you go, well, yeah, but nobody wants to go through the believer's warfare. Nobody wants to suffer that. I get that. But part of the Christian walk, listen to me, part of the Christian walk is you will suffer. There's going to be battles. There's going to be crazy stuff that happens. And let me say this. That's somebody who'd given their life to the Lord. You're going to face a different set. But the closer you walk to Jesus, it's a different type of spiritual battle, isn't it? You're like, man, I'm saved. You know you're saved beyond a shadow. The enemy, you're just... But the closer you walk, the harder life is going to become. You go, well, Ben, what do? That's all the more we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be on our knees in prayer. Guys, our prayer meetings cannot be anemic. They have to be the backbone of the church. The Word of God and learning the Word of God is super important, but praying and praying through those things, praying for a hedge. Think about this hedge of protection. Think about this, okay? I always pray for a hedge of thorns of protection around somebody. And everybody loves that the hedge of thorns would keep the enemy out. And I get that. I pray for a hedge of protection, a hedge of thorns, keep the enemy from infiltrating. But I also love that the thorns point inward so that we don't get out where we're supposed to be. Okay. But I'm right here. Moving on very quickly. We're almost to close here. The ninth gate repaired is called the East Gate. This gate is perhaps the most well-known of all, the East or the Eastern Gate. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next week, we're going to cover the horse gate a little bit deeper. We're going to talk about the rapture of the church. We're going to talk about the East Gate, okay? The East Gate represents the second coming because you know that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come in through the Eastern Gate of the Temple Mount. And then you have the Mifkad Gate. And that is the gate of the great white throne of judgment. It's also known as the inspection gate. Okay? So, here's, think about this. The gospel is in the Old Testament, right here. Why? You get saved, you witness, you go through trials, you have the foundation of the Word of God, you have all of these things, right? And then at the end, what happens is you come into the horse gate, you hear the trumpet, and that's the rapture. Then we sit up there with Jesus for 7 years, eating filet mignon, having a great, 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 great marriage supper of the Lamb. And then the second coming, we come back with him. And then the final is what? The great white throne judgment. I have a minute, and I want to share with you this because I thought it was really, really cool. Really cool. Whenever we talk about the rapture and we talk about the tribulation, the 7 years, everybody goes, man, that's God's going to pour out his wrath. It's going to be awful. It is. But it reminded me, you see, we were at the airport this weekend and we're coming in. And so what they do, if you've ever been to the airport, now not Southwest, but let's just say the first people that board are the A-class boarders, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start boarding. And so the A-class boarders and go in, the first-class boarders, no smelling with children and all that. And so you're kind of waiting, right? Now, you didn't pay a whole lot for your ticket, but you're still waiting. And so if you're like us, we got the B or the C class ticket, right? And so what happens is everybody gets on the plane first. You're sort of waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to now have the second part of the A class. And so you're watching all these other people get on, and you're like, man. And then they announce the rest of us, right? It's the B class. Come on, all of you B and C. And so we all walk in and we get on the plane. Where do you normally sit if you're B and C class? The back of the plane. You guys with me? But they do something. You and I don't hear this because we're usually in the back of the plane, depending on where we got our ticket. But they will give what they right? We're already in the plane, and they will offer one final call. Flight so-and-so to so-and-so, they have one final call. Your plane is boarding. And they will get on the intercom and give one final call so that those who are not on the plane have a chance to get on the plane. You guys with me? That's what God does in the tribulation. Right now, he's saying, hey, man, it's open seating. Come on, open up your hearts. Come inside. Come get in the plane. But the tribulation is going to be his way of going one final boarding call. Why? Because there won't be another chance after that. The plane, the door will close. It'll taxi back out and it'll go. And I thought, wow, the tribulation, guys, is going to be God's greatest gift to a world who's rejected him so far. As we close, we see our walks with God. We see salvation. Yay! We see witnessing. When I tell people when they get saved, I say, hey, do this. Do this one thing for me. They're standing right here. They're crying. They gave their life to the Lord. I said, go tell somebody. Okay, I got saved. What does it mean? I don't know, but I guess. And they begin to witness. You guys have witnessed. And then we have the old gate. Remember, the doctrinal, getting in the Word of God. You guys can come on up. We're good. And then you realize that in this walk, there's going to be trials, there's going to be suffering, and you don't understand it, but God speaks of it. Then God deals with the dung. He speaks of the necessity for us to examine our own lives, get rid of all those stuff that doesn't belong here. And then we have the fountain gate, the renewal, our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we have the water gate and the refreshment of the Word, the truth of God's Word. So this is the walk for every one of us. But can we do this? Can we do this tonight? What a great time to walk through the water gate. You go, what do you mean? It's your time to ask for the Holy Spirit to be refreshed, to have the fountain gate and the water gate and see what God will do. Please don't think, oh, what do we got to do tomorrow? I've got to get this done. No. Take this and tune in and lock in. The altar, if you will, right here, it's open. You can stand here. You can kneel here. You can do whatever. Just spend time and ask the Lord to fill you with your Spirit, with His Spirit. Lord, refresh me, revive me, Lord. I need a touch from you. Don't lose this time. This is between you and God. Father, we thank you today for your Word. And now, Lord, we ask God that you would allow us to walk through, Lord. Maybe there is, Lord, today some dung that we got to get rid of. Help us to walk through whatever gate you need us to walk through today. In our worship to you, in Jesus' name. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, as we continue verse by verse in the book of Nehemiah, the work on the wall continues, but so does the opposition. In Nehemiah chapter 4, we'll discover what happens when criticism, discouragement, and spiritual attack try to stop what God has started. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompt him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.